In yeshiva, you know, there's a sefer Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim wrote. And the sefer Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim talks about all different halachos of Chesed, and he has a whole section on Hachnosas Orchim, on the various halachos of hosting people. But what's more nogea to you, I think, in yeshiva, since you probably don't host too many guests, is how to be a guest. And there are halachos about how to be a guest also, although there's no real section or chapter in any sefer that I know of on how to be a guest. But if you look around, a little bit here, a little bit there, in Shulchan Aruch, and in different places, in different poskim, you find that there are halachos and minhagim and proper practices on how to be a guest. So I figured it would be a good topic to talk about, since you probably are invited places for Shabbos and things while you're here learning in Eretz Yisrael. The Kaf HaChaim writes in Siman Vav, Sivkot and Ches, and Sivkot and Tezvav, V'im Yachal Yavi Be'ezer Yom Le'eserev Mine Metika O'Kleos Ve'egozim Le'bnei Abayis. If you are able to, Kaf HaChaim says, bring a candy dish, because people like candy. So you should always bring something for your host. It's the appropriate thing to bring something for your host. Now, what is a proper gift? I heard from my good friend, Rabbi David Rossman, who teaches in Eish HaTorah, right down the block over here, that you know, a lot of times people think, okay, I'll just pick up some flowers on my way. Last minute, I'll pick something up and bring it to my host if I'm going there for Shabbos. He says sometimes that doesn't involve enough forethought, because sometimes you go into a house where there are a lot of young children and things are crazy right before Shabbos. Everything's insane, and you show up and like, here's the flowers. And now the hostess, in addition to taking care of her children, has to cut the bottom of the flowers so you don't get offended that she leaves it out of water for Shabbos. She has to put it in the water and put it in a nice place, you know, do all that. Well, add that to the list of things to do. He suggested maybe a nicer thing to do would be on Thursday morning to call her up and say, to call up the place where you can be for Shabbos when things are calm, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. Hey, I'm in the bakery. What kind of cake do you guys like? I want to pick something up. So that way you've already shifted the whole conversation. It's not, do you want cake? I'm already buying cake. That's not your choice. What your choice is, what kind of cake would you like? And then there's nothing that she has to do, when the host or hostess has to do when you get there. Just a little bit of an eitzah. That's not a halacha. The Gemara, in several places, in Kiddushin Daf Nuntes, Chulim and Be'esotim and Zayin, mentions the pasuk in Mishlei, Sone Matanos Yichya, that a person should not, a person who hates gifts will live. And the Gemara in Sota says that Misharabu Mekabli Matanos Nesimatu Ayamim Neskatra Shanim. When people accept too many gifts, when they're very excited about receiving things, well then they don't live very long. It's not a good thing. The Gemara Megillah Daf Mem Ches says that when the Beis Nasi would send matanos to Rabbi Lazar, he would say, "Heim lo noach lechem she'echya? Why, you don't want me to live? If you wanted me to live, you wouldn't send me so many gifts." That is not our cheshbon. Our cheshbon is to give gifts. We are supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be loving the receiving of gifts. But our cheshbon is that when we are guests at someone's house, it is the appropriate thing to do to express a sense of hakaras tov, and it is our obligation to express a sense of hakaras tov. However, there is a halachic issue when you bring a gift. If you come on Shabbos and you're first bringing the gift on Shabbos, the halacha is that one is not allowed. Shulchan Aruch Sim Shin Vav says one is not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. So to be makne a gift to your host on Shabbos is a problem. How do we get around this problem if you want to bring a gift to someone that you're going to for Shabbos? There are four ways that I'm aware of that are around to get around this problem. One is, have a third party before Shabbos make a kinyan on behalf of the host. Zachin la adam shalom b'fanav. You're learning Gittin, right? Zachin la adam shalom b'fanav. So you can have someone else make a kinyan on behalf of the host, for the host, before Shabbos. You can't do it because you already own it, so you can't be makne it to yourself on behalf of the host. You can't also be the shliach, you can't be the kona and the makna, but you can have someone else. Oh, I'm going somewhere for lunch tomorrow, I want to bring a gift, do me a favor, make a kinyan hagbah, pick this up on behalf of the host, zachal adam shalom b'fanav, they can acquire it for them. That is one etzah. Second etzah is, when you buy the gift, if you know that you are buying a gift for the host, you can buy the gift with the kavana that you are being coded from the store, not for yourself. But again, zachal adam shalom b'fanav, you are acquiring it from the store on behalf of the host, on behalf of the person who you're buying it for. You should then realize that if you change your mind, you decide not to give it to the host, and you keep it, you are then a ganav. because it is not yours. Once you acquire it on behalf of the host, it belongs to them. The third possibility is to have the host have in mind not to make a kinyan on it until after Shabbos, which often leads to an uncomfortable conversation. Here's a gift, but it's not really yours. You can't really have it yet. So you may want to avoid that possibility, unless it's a real Ben Torah who really understands what you're trying to tell them. And the fourth possibility is to buy food. Most of the poskim assume that if you buy food that's going to be shared at the table, that doesn't involve a kinyan. That's just a sharing of food that everyone is using together, and sharing food with each other is not a kinyan at all. That is in terms of a gift. The second important element of being a guest is the Gemara Masechta Metziah Daf Pei Zayin derives from the Malachim who went to visit Avram Avinu, and they said, Ayei Sar Ishtecha, that if you don't see your host's spouse, it's appropriate to ask how they're doing, even though there is a halach in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer Simon Chav Aleph that ain't shol in b'shlom isha klal v'afilu alidei shliach v'afilu alidei baila. You're not supposed to ask after a woman because it's not considered tsanua, even through a shliach, even through her husband. But it's nevertheless mutter to ask a husband how his wife is doing. That is not a violation of Ein Shol and B'Shalom Isha Klal. I saw recently, I actually saw this on Twitter, but in the Be'er Moshe, in Chelech Ches, Simin Kuftez Zayin, he adds that, he writes, it spells it out in Hebrew, that saying something like, my best regards to your wife is okay, but that's not called Ein Shol and B'Shalom Isha Klal. I mean, you should be gracious, you should be kind, you should be friendly, and you should acknowledge that there are other people in the family who are hosting you. Now, some general advice, not really from Shulchan Aruch. First of all, sometimes we think it's polite to decline things that are offered to you. You go to a place, say, would you like anything to eat, anything to drink? You say, no. But sometimes the host really just wants to do something for you. So they want to feel like they're doing something. So even if you're not that hungry, you're not that thirsty, don't ask for like, oh yeah, I would like this and that and that. But maybe say, you know, a cold drink would be great. Don't get too specific, because then they feel bad if you say, oh, orange juice. Please, orange juice. Like, no, we don't have any orange juice. Oh gosh, I feel so terrible. So just, you know, something called, almost everyone has something called, as long as they have a refrigerator in their house. So you could ask. I actually went to a yeshiva yesterday. I said, oh, anything just hot to drink. I figured every yeshiva has like a hot water thing or coffee or whatever. They're like, oh no, we don't have anything hot. Okay, I'm sorry, I felt terrible. So, but really, just try to keep it as general as possible. Very often, also, you should realize that guests take away attention from children in the house. So try your best to engage the kids in conversation, play with them, bring candies for them. Don't make them feel like they're losing out because their parents are doing a mitzvah. And that's a good way to help the parents be mechanich their kids in the value of Hakamas Zarchim. Also, come with the Dvar Torah, the Mishnah Berurah, in Simen Kuf Ayin Sivkat Nalev says, "Umitzvah al kol adam lilmol Torah al shulchano, shekol shulchan shlo amra lav divrei Torah kilu achlo mizivchei mesim." It doesn't mean that you should push your divrei Torah on people who aren't interested in hearing it, but a lot of times they're like, "Oh, do you have a divrei Torah? Or is there anyone that has a divrei Torah? They want to hear something." Don't make your Dvar Torah your thesis of life, or make a long ma'aracha that will take you 4 hours to say. It should not be a shir klali. It should be a nice thought that everyone at the table could appreciate, or can have some say, can get something out of, and that will put a smile on people's faces. Don't ask uncomfortable questions of the balabais. Hey, how come your wife isn't here? Why is everyone so sad today? How come that kid's crying? Why is that kid more rebellious than the other ones? Don't ask things like that. Try to use your head a little bit. Those are not halachas. Now, in terms of back to halach over here, when it comes to eating, the Rambam, the fourth parak of Hilchos Teshuvah, writes that it's aser to eat misu'udah she'ena maspekas lebaaleha. You're not allowed to eat from a meal if the host doesn't seem to have enough food. I was once, when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, between high school and college, I was hosted by someone once, and they brought out meat, and I had a friend with me, and we like polished off the entire plate of meat, and then like one of the children said, "Wow, we have meat this Shabbos? What's the occasion that we have meat this Shabbos?" And we realized that this wasn't like back home where there was always more meat to come out of the kitchen. We had just finished all of their meat, and they only buy meat like once every whatever, and very special occasions. The Kavod Ha'orchim, they told the children. So that they were able to make that purchase. You should try to be aware. Not everyone, even if people grew up in the five towns or something, and you know them. So, but now they live in whatever, in Ramat Eshkol or something. Don't assume that they that they necessarily have tons. So just look around and try to be cognizant of these things. Vir Alachan Simkovayin tells us in Dibra Maschul Orchim not to show up at the conclusion of a meal where the host is going to feel like he has to feed you, even though the food has already been cleared. Meaning to come at the end of a chasana, the wedding's already, the main course is already over, and you go over to the father of the chasana, the father of the kala, to say mazel. Oh no, you just came. Oh, did you eat anything? And then you'd have to. Don't come after the meal is over, because then it makes the host feel very uncomfortable that they didn't feed you, and they're going to go crazy to try to feed you. You can say, if you're going to at the end of a simcha, you know, I just came to say mazel tov, to preempt it. I just wanted to come to say mazel tov in person. Sorry, I have to run or whatever. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kufayin Sifyud Gimel says, Hanichnas labayis lo yomar tnuli lechol ad sheyomruhein. Do not say, hey, when's lunch starting already? That is not something, you know, that's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. If they say lunch is starting, that's when lunch is starting. But you don't demand, and these are things that are common sense, but still, the Mishnah Berurah just points out in Sifkan Chavtes that doesn't apply in a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant, you're allowed to say, is there food here? Can we, you know, excuse me, waiter, can we get some, you know, food? The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Lamed said, once they brought your food, you can eat without being instructed to do so. You don't have to wait till they say it's okay, eat, Mishnah Berurah writes, but you shouldn't just ask for the food in advance. The Shulchan Aruch in Simukh tells us, whatever the Balabayas tells you, you follow instructions. Meaning, if they say, we need help clearing the table, help clear the table. If they say whatever it is that they need, Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Tazayin tells us, even if they tell you to do something that involves a gasu susrara, lead kiddush, or something that you normally wouldn't be comfortable doing because, like, you don't want to draw attention to yourself, say a dvar Torah, let's say. We're like, what? The host is a Talmud Chacham, I'm going to say a dvar Torah. Doesn't matter. Do it anyway. If the Balabaya says you should do something, you do it. There are a few exceptions. They're not supposed to send you on errands outside of the house. The Biralach has a Gyosa Chutz Mitzay. They can't tell you, go out and do something. Mishnah Berurah says if you really aren't hungry, you don't have to listen to them to eat. And Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Tazayin says if they tell you to do something against your minhag, you're makbid about Chal of Yisrael. And they say, no, eat this. I don't care that you're makbid about Chal of Yisrael. You must eat this. You don't have to go against your minhag. With Kashrus concerns, Mishnah Berurah distinguishes between things that are legitimate concerns where you don't follow the Baal HaBayis and things that are clearly just a chumrah, like Pas Akum, or Chemes Akum, where you would follow the Baal HaBayis and it wouldn't even require Ataras Mdarim, even though you're, let's say, normally Makbid. You know that, a good example in Israel here, there are a million different Ashkachas. So some people, they just don't want to have to think about it. They just don't want to, so they say, you know what, but that's the charedis, that's what I'll eat, because that's what I could recognize, that's what I know. Everything else I just won't eat. So you're being hosted by someone who seems like a very religious Jew and is makbid about kashrus, and but not everything is badatzei de charedis, but if they're reliable ashkachas, and you just had this chumrah that you're only going to follow, but I'm picking that ashkacha just because that's the most famous one, not because I think it's most famous. So you don't have to keep that chumrah at the expense of the host. If obviously they're not Yirei Shemayim and you're concerned about the kashrus, so then you're allowed to keep your chumrah. Rav Shapta stayed at my house for a Shabbos a couple of years ago also, and I asked his son in advance, what can I do for him that will make him comfortable? He said, make sure you get him a tea at the end of the meal. He won't ask for it, but get him, he likes to have tea at the end of the meal, and don't put sugar in it. I said, why shouldn't I put sugar in it? He said, ask him. So I said, okay. So I asked him, why don't you take sugar in your tea? Which is a funny question to ask, but I said, you know, Shai told me to ask. I normally wouldn't ask that question. So he said that when he was in Eretz Yisrael many years ago, right after he got married, for a few years, he and his wife were not yet zocha to have children. And they came to Eretz Yisrael to get brachos from various gedolim. And they went to visit a cousin of his who wasn't so religious, and they offered him something to drink, and he said, I'll have a tea. And they said, would you like sugar in the tea? And he was concerned about Trumus and Maestros with the sugar. So he said, no, I don't take sugar in my tea. So they said, okay, so they gave him a tea without sugar. Once he said, I don't take sugar in my tea, he said, I can't make a liar out of myself, so I don't take sugar in my tea anymore, because I already said 45 years ago that I don't take sugar in my tea once. So yeah, that's... Like normal people, right? The when it comes to bringing a friend, the Sharetzion Simchuf Samach Tes Sif Katan Yod writes, "Ein Oreach Machnis Oreach." a guest is not allowed to bring his own guest. You are a guest at the house without permission, without clearing it with the Baal HaBayis first. Oh, I figured you wouldn't mind. I brought a few extra people. That is not appropriate. And the final thing, at the end of a meal, Shulchan Aruch and Reish Aleph, Sif Aleph says that the guest should lead benching so that the guest can say the bracha for the host, meaning the host decides who leads benching. He should decide on the guest, even if the guest is younger, he's not the most chashav person, because the guest has a require. That way, the guest will be able to say the bracha. Yiratzon shleivos shvoi kolim balabayis hazel lo bal mazev lo bal maba v'yatziach b'chol nechasim v'nechasim musachim v'krovim le'ir, etc., etc. The bracha that should be printed in all benchers, but for some reason is only printed in some benchers. That is a bracha that a guest is supposed to say. Now, the reason Shulchan Aruch says only if you lead benching, you say that, is because it used to be the only person that would bench out loud, the only person that would bench at all is the one who leads benching. Everyone else would just listen quietly, answer amen and be yotze through the mevarich. Nowadays, we all bench. Nowadays, everyone around the table benches. So even if you're not the one that leads benching, if you are a guest at someone's house, you are supposed to say that bracha. It's appropriate to say that bracha bekol, in a way that they could hear it, that they could answer amen, and they could appreciate that you're giving them this bracha, that you're giving the Baal HaBayis this bracha. Mishra Brura wonders a little bit why we changed the nusach bracha from the way it appears in Shas, but you read it from the bencher, and then you follow that minug, because you're not going to know it by heart anyway. And you should say this bracha even if you're eating at a shul or at a yeshiva. You're being hosted, so you should say the bracha for your host. If you're eating a shalosh shudas, when Rav Shachter ate shalosh shudas in my shul, he said this bracha out loud. The Rambam says that the bracha should be said right after the bracha revius, which means right after Aryeh Chasreinu. For some reason, in most benchers, they have it a little bit later. It's not the end of the world, but really, ideally, it should be right after Aryeh Chasreinu. Say the Brisker Rav was makbid about that. And a guest's attitude, the Gemara Brachas, Daf Nun Hei, tells us that a good guest says, Kama tirchus torchu b'nei abayis avuri, that look how much the b'nei abayis went out of their way for me. Kol masha tarchu lo tarchu el bishvili. Everything they did is for me. A bad guest says, Ma tarech tarch baal bayis, pasach asachalti. I barely even ate anything. You know, I had what? One slice of challah and a piece of chicken and whatever. Kol shatarch baal bayis lo tarch el bishvili shto obanav. Whatever they did for their own family, and they just happened to have extra food, so I was there anyway. That is a bad guess. That should not be the attitude. And you should also know it's not just a bad attitude, but it's untrue. Very often there are families that will eat a certain way when there are no guests, and they will prepare a lot more when there are guests. Not because they are hungrier when there are guests, but look up with the Archim, they want to prepare more when there are guests. So you should appreciate that people go out of the way. They may be very happy to do it and they want to do the mitzvah, but appreciate that there is a tircha involved in hosting a guest, and you should have the akaras hatov to express that akaras hatov with that proper recognition. So you should take up the opportunities. You have opportunities sometimes to eat by very special people over here, and to encounter and see how people, you know, in their homes. Sometimes people are very inspired by seeing the way Talmidei Chachamim, and I know people who've eaten by Rav Nevensal come away like completely inspired, and it's something that you should take advantage of, but appreciate what it means to be a guest, and you should always have that Akar Zatov. And then, God willing, one day in the future, when you're able to host people yourself, you should be able to pay that forward and continue this great tradition of Klal Yisrael, of always looking out for each other and always taking care of each other.